Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
But we, according to the Bible in Ezekiel 36, have a new and a holy life, and we have a new heart, and we have a new creation within us, and we are new men and new women. And according to Revelation 2 and 17, we have a new name. And according to Psalm 40, we sing a new song. Hey, you don't have to live the old life today. You can live the new life of Jesus Christ today, because Jesus Christ lives in you.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called, How to Live the New Life.
Some of my Southern members here, some of you understand the word, right? Y'all want to go to Chick-fil-A? I reckon so. Let's go. You know what I'm talking about. Now, we have Cracker Barrel now here in Southern California. We feel very privileged, but I can hear someone from the South saying, you want to go to Cracker Barrel? I reckon so. Let's go. It's a good Southern word. And Southerners would tell you it's a good word because it's a Bible word, right? And there is some truth to that. I want you to see that in verse 11. I want you to see the word reckon. It says, likewise, what's the next word say? Come on now, help me out here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now the word reckon means to calculate or to affirm in your mind or conclude to be true. Now stay with me. It is one thing to know something. It is another thing to reckon something. Reckoning is the appropriation of the truth. To know speaks of the mind. The word reckon speaks of the heart. You say, well, I know that Jesus died and rose again for me, and I know the Bible says that I can have newness of life, but there's a step of faith to reckon and begin living that way. I reckon I'll do that. I reckon that's the truth. I'm making an accounting decision, just like you take your checkbook and you figure out, all right, I've got $12.11. And you reckon that to be a fact. God says, I want you to come to my word. I want you to know who you are in Christ. And then I want you to reckon on that. And I want you from the heart to begin living that way. Now, why is it that some Christians have trouble really reckoning with who they are in Christ? Why do they live their whole life like they're a loser, with guilt? Why do they live with voices from the past shouting at them, you'll never make it? Why do they let the devil put them down? Why is it that sometimes we never truly reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ? Why is it that some Christians never experience new life any day, much less every day? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. There's a couple ways that we're challenged at this point. I think, first of all, as we think of the challenges to our reckoning, one of the reasons we're challenged is because of Satan's lies. How many of you know that Satan is a liar? If you don't, I'm telling you he is. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, and there is no truth in him. Now, maybe it's hard to believe that the old nature is crucified and that Jesus is living in you, because Satan doesn't want you to believe that, because Satan lies, because Satan creates doubt. I believe that's one of the reasons. I believe another reason that people struggle is because whenever there is sin in someone's life, then sin causes us to doubt, and we think, wait a minute, if I thought that thought, if I did that deed, then certainly I'm not even saved. Like, look at all these people in this church that are perfect. They all grew up memorizing scripture from the nursery time, and they've never had a bad thought, and they've never sinned, and therefore I am, and the devil, how many of you know, the devil likes to pour guilt on like that? The devil causes doubt like that and creates conflict. Now, let me tell you that the dominion of Adam's nature over you has been conquered at the grave, but the flesh, the body that you and I live in, is still real. And there will come times when you will be disappointed even within yourself. In fact, the Apostle Paul was. Look at what Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 18. He said this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," right? He's not talking about the Adamic nature that has been crucified, but in this fleshly body with which he lives, he says, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do evil, when I would do good, evil is present with me." Now what is Paul saying? This is one of the reasons I believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Because God's word is honest. It tells us that David had times of discouragement, and it tells us that Elijah had times of depression, and it tells us that Paul had times when he should have done something but didn't do it, and he shouldn't have done something and he did do it. And what we realize here is that there are times in our lives when we know what is right and we don't do what is right, and it is those times that will cause doubt in our mind, perhaps even about our very relationship with God. And let me just say here quickly, sin does not affect salvation if it's true salvation. It does affect assurance. And you'll struggle with the assurance of salvation when sin comes into your life, and Satan will sometimes compound that. And thus there is a challenge in really reckoning that I am in Christ and that my old nature is dead. So I want to tell you that if you're truly saved and there are times in your life when you think something that disappoints you or you do something that disappoints you, may I simply say that so long as you are not under the dominion of Satan, so long as you are feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you sin, then I encourage you to repent of that sin and get on living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Challenges come, though, when we have doubt from Satan. Challenges come when we sin. So how can we change that? How can we change the way that we live? And that happens when we reckon what God tells us to reckon. When we change when we reckon. Now look at verse number 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Now, I want to tell you how to reckon. First of all, we reckon when we believe the word of God. Reckoning is based on actual facts. To reckon is to act in faith on what you know. So you know what the Bible says, that the old man is dead and that the new man reigns in Jesus Christ. You know that. But now reckoning, you're going to act upon that. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith gives you confidence to say, the Bible tells me that my old Adamic nature is conquered, and that I have a resurrected presence, Jesus Christ, living within me. And now then, I reckon that to be true, and I am going to live that reality today. Lord, today I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto the power of sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And you appropriate that by faith. That's what reckoning does. It appropriates truth by faith. Let me illustrate it this way. Sometimes I'll be at an airport and I'll observe people. And how many of you are like me? You're just like sometimes just watching people in public places. Just it's curious and sometimes humorous. And sometimes you'll see people that have their ticket. It's already theirs, it's already reserved, they've got it in their pocket or on their phone, and they're just sitting there having a Starbucks, reading emails, talking to their friends, pretty relaxed. Then you'll see people that are on standby, and it is just the opposite. People that are on standby, they're walking back and forth, they're pacing, they're looking at the agent over here, they're trying to catch the agent's eye. Any seats available? Any seats available? There's three available, but there's nine on standby. I think I put my reservation in 3 months ago. I think I have 12,000 miles. Does that get me up there? Am I going to make it into the top? We'll let you know, sir. Okay, and they pace some more, and they pace some more. They drink some coffee. Maybe they go to the smoking room and smoke or something. You know. Then they come back. How am I looking? They're on standby, so they're nervous all the time. They don't know where they stand with the airline. And there are many Christians who are living as though they are on standby when they have a ticket. They're living on standby. They're wondering where they stand with God. And God says, look, you got to know something, that when I died, your victory was won. Adam was defeated, and you're alive in Jesus Christ. And you've got to not just know it here, you've got to reckon it here, and stop living like a standby Christian and start living like a first-class Christian and living the way that God wants you to live, with assurance in your heart that you belong to Him and that you can have new life every day. See, you don't live your life as a standby Christian. You live your life as a Christian that has a ticket, and God knows who you are. He knows your name. You're accepted in the Beloved, and He is ready to walk with you tomorrow morning. And so we must believe God's word. We must believe that we are no longer under dominion. The Bible says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We don't want to start tomorrow thinking, oh, I hope that guy doesn't come by and tempt me that way. No, no, no. I'm dead to that. I want to reckon myself dead to that. I'm appropriating that before I ever begin the day. We want to live as though we are alive unto God. The Bible says in verse 11, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you reckon this to be true. Now, on December 27th, 1980, I stood at a wedding altar in San Jose, California, and Terry and I exchanged vows, and we said we would love, honor, and cherish one another until death do us part. And on that day, I knew in my mind exactly the commitment that I was making, and I reckoned in my life that every day there would be a reckoning. I wake up every day with the awareness that I'm a married man, and that that decision and that those commitments have ramifications every single day of my life. How ridiculous it would have been to get married at the wedding altar and go back to my dorm at college and live in the dorm and eat food in the cafeteria and do my own laundry and sit at the dorm with a bunch of stinking smelly guys when I was now married. It's one thing to know you're married. It's another thing to reckon you're married. And I'm just simply saying that every day now that I'm married, I'm going to live according to the life of a married man. I'm going to seek to be a blessing to my wife, to pray with my wife, to encourage her, to take care of problems with her, to be at the hospital with her, whatever it means. I mean, I know it, but I've reckoned it. Listen, some of you know that Jesus lives inside of you, but you haven't reckoned with that, and you're not reckoning with it on a daily basis. It's not something that's permeated your heart. And what I want you to realize today is that we must know our position, but we must also reckon our position, that we are dead to sin. Hey, you don't say Jesus Christ is your Savior and go back to the old life. You get up every morning and reckon yourself to be dead to that old life and alive to the new life in Jesus Christ. Now, this is just three words today. The first word is, you got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Dead to the old life, the dominion of Adam, alive in Jesus Christ. And then not only know it, but by faith, reckon that to be true. And start tomorrow by saying, Lord, I want to reckon today that I am dead to the old man and that your presence is alive in me, and I want you to have your will and way in my life. We want to know it. We want to reckon it. Finally, a third word. We want to yield our lives daily to the Lord. The third key word to Romans 6 is the word yield. Now notice in verse 12 what the Bible says. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, God calls us to yield ourselves. This speaks, first of all, of dethroning the will of sin. I'm going to give you three steps in yielding yourself. First of all, we dethrone our own will. You say, why do you use the word dethrone? Look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, what's the next word say? Say it again, what? It's not R-A-I-N, it's R-E-I-G-N. The word means to exercise kingly power. God says, don't let sin be the monarch in your life, right? If you were to travel over to England and have an audience with Queen Elizabeth, and if you were to walk in to Buckingham Palace, you would be subject to all of the laws and rules of Buckingham Palace. You would do whatever they said, whenever they said, or they would send you out. She is the monarch of that land. But God says, don't let sin be the monarch of you. Don't let sin boss you around. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to do. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to drink. Don't let that old crowd tell you how to talk. Don't let that old crowd tell you where to go. Don't let sin reign any longer in your body and in your life. Dethrone the will of sin. By the grace of God, sin must not be sovereign. This is a command that's given. In fact, notice further, it says in verse 12 that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now again, the unsaved man has no choice. The unsaved man can take 12 steps, 20 steps, he can go to jail, he can go to counseling, but oftentimes you'll find the same sin year after year and dominion of sin over his life. But the saved man has a choice to yield or not to yield because he has the power of the living God within his own life. We don't have to obey the lust thereof. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so as we obey the law of the Spirit, we are able to yield God to God rather than to sin. So we must dethrone the will of sin, yield not your members over unto sin. Notice secondly, we must deny the instruments of sin. Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now let's read that together. A little bit different vernacular, but let's read the first sentence of verse 13. Ready? Begin. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now let's just think about it in practical terms. You can yield this brain to covetousness or contentment. Your brain can be continually captivated by pornography or by the Bible. I don't know what you're yielding your brain to right now. But God says that we're not to yield our members to unrighteousness. Your ears can be yielded to rap music full of cursing and bitterness. Or your ears can be yielded to things that are pure and lovely and godly. Your feet can take you to places of ill repute and trouble, or they can bring you to church, and you can take a walk with your child, and you can walk to your spouse and tell her you're sorry. You've got to yield your members to that which is righteous. Deny these instruments to the use of unrighteousness. Now, there's a fight many times within our members, but we must yield our members as instruments of righteousness. We must find ourselves walking in the power of God's grace. Notice in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You see, the law introduces sin, but grace introduces life. Let me say that again. The law tells us that we're a sinner, that we fall short, but grace gives us power and life that we might live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must, if we're going to yield, we must dethrone the will of sin. And we must deny the instruments of sin. I'm not going to yield these instruments over to ungodliness. And then notice finally, we must deploy ourselves into God's service. Now, this is a yielded life. I'm speaking to you about the word yield. Dethrone the will of sin, deny the instruments of sin, and then deploy yourself in God's service. Now, look at this in verse 13. It says, but yield yourselves unto God. Would you say that with me, please? But yield yourselves unto God. One more time. But yield yourselves unto God. Now, this is very important. Don't miss this. We're almost done. You can sit over here and say, okay, I'm not going to listen to rap music. I'm going to throw away all of my Blue Oyster Cult, Led Zeppelin, and Michael Jackson. I'm done with it. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm not going to touch alcohol. I'm not going to say bad words. I'm just going to sit right here and be a good boy. I'm not going to yield my instruments over to any of that stuff. But God says not only does he want you to not yield your instruments to things that are sinful, he wants you to yield yourself to God. In other words, you've got to replace that old music with good music. You've got to replace those old friends with the right friends. You've got to replace those wrong habits with the right habits. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that means some of us as Christians, then we come and we say, whoa, now I know that I have victory through Jesus Christ. The old man is dead, and I'm alive in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to reckon that to be true. I'm dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And Lord, now I present my body to you. I don't want to use these hands to fight. I don't want to use this tongue to gossip. I don't want to use these ears to hear terrible things or this brain to have terrible thoughts. So Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it. I yield myself to you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever not just said, I'm going to stop doing bad stuff? Have you ever started serving the Lord? Have you ever found what it's like to come to an adult Bible class, a connection group, or a church service and try to help others and learn and grow and be a witness and learn how to be a better husband or wife? Or have you ever just started living the Christian life and reading your Bible? Oh, there's nothing like it, my friend. Yield your members to God. Lord, here's my eyes. Here's my mouth. Guard what I say. Here's my hands. Help me to be a blessing. Here's my feet. And so, three words. If you want new life today, new life tomorrow. Now, some people, they got saved. It was a great day. Their sins are forgiven. Then that's kind of it. But if you want the joy in the presence of the Lord every day, then here you go. Know what God says about you. And God says that when Jesus died, the power of sin over you died. And when Jesus rose again, you have victory rising up within you and ultimately a resurrection yourself. You got to know that. But then you've got to reckon it. Now, you don't reckon your finances one time in your entire life. Some of you maybe twice, I'm afraid. But most people take a look every so often. God says, I want you to take a look and I want you to reckon with this. Lord, today I reckon myself to be dead unto sin and alive unto you. Lord, before I even go out the door, before I have that cup of coffee, I just want to settle this issue. I belong to you. So Lord, help me today to reckon that I am dead to that old way and alive to you. I know it, Lord, but I'm telling you, I believe it. And then, Lord, thirdly, I want to yield my life to you today. Not only do I not want to give my members to that old way, but Lord, if you want me to say a kind word to my spouse today, and Lord, if you want me to give a gospel tract today, and God, if you want me to try to help my neighbor today, however you want to use me, Lord, I just want to present my body to you. And if you want new life tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, and if you want to live the resurrected life every day, I just encourage you, know who God says you are, reckon that to be true, and yield yourself unto Him each and every day. And you'll have new life tomorrow and the rest of the week. And I want to encourage you to know, to reckon, and to yield to the Lord Jesus this week.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.